Now we present an encore presentation of Protect Your Assets with David Hollander.
Boy, it's been one this year so far, hasn't it? We have a few days left before we are mid-year, two quarters behind us, and the market has had the worst 6 months since, get this, 1970. Can you say recession? Well, stocks are across the board starting to show the signs that growth for the overall economy, which again, I'm going to keep saying recession, is slowing. And if the drop in commodities continue and we see the defensive stocks, XLU, XLV, XLP, real estate, if we see these start to assume a leadership role, then you should anticipate a material slowing in economic growth sooner than later. And so as I'm looking at my technical numbers, I wanted to give you some things to think about when you think about the S&P 500 and some of the price points we've seen. First, in early February, remember this, the S&P 500 repeatedly tested the 4,600 level before dropping 10% peak to trough. Then after March, it was 4,500 where the market failed in early April, and the S&P proceeded to drop another 10% from that level. In late April, 4,300 became a new ceiling where the market failed multiple times before stocks fell more than 11% in the back half of May. And then in early June, the key resistance level became 4,150. Once again, the S&P 500 exhausted its attempts at breaking higher, and the market fell another 13% peak to trough. So since the beginning of last week, 3,800 has become a new ceiling for the S&P 500 as sellers have repeatedly stepped in and overwhelmed the tentative weak-handed bids. Now, whether the market is poised to fall another 10% from this new resistance level, I know we closed over that slightly, which would be down towards, get this number, 3,400, remains to be seen. And this little, I'll call it a squeezy leg higher, is what we've seen. But bottom line, and so far this year, the S&P has failed at round numbers, likely due to the impact of derivative traders, a minimum of four times. And now 3,800 has become a critical near-term tipping point to watch, as a break above could trigger another failure. So let's just look for that and keep your eyes on the technicalities of it. Now, overall, the Dow was up this week 5.4%. Finally, had a little bit of a breather. Year to date, we're down over 13%. S&P up 6.4, down 18% year to date. NASDAQ up 7.5, still down 25.8. 10 years looking at 3.13. I'm looking for 3.5%. overall on the 10-year, and I think that could phase in later this year, maybe early next year, but I think that's the height we'll see. Does that mean that it's not a good time to buy bonds or fixed income? No, and I'll talk about that a little later as well. Oil's up 43% year to date. Bonds, this last week we saw a little bit of a gain, up 0.7%, but still down for the year, 10.5. So remember, for any sort of rally, meaningful rally, to continue, we need to see inflation peak, Fed hawkishness stop, China reopen meaningfully, and geopolitical tensions subsiding. And none of that is happening, so don't kid yourself. So the bigger question is, are we in a recession? That's what I keep hearing, so let me educate you a little bit. A recession can only be determined by the National Bureau of Economic Research, NBER. They're a private nonprofit organization that conducts economic research and most notably decides when recessions start and end. A recession is popularly defined as two consecutive quarters of negative GDP growth. You'll notice I said a recession is defined by the NBER as in the past tense. The NBER is not a predictive organization, at least not when it comes to a recession. In fact, recessions are often identified by the NBER long after the real slowdown in the economy has ended and the recovery is underway. It's very much a backward-looking endeavor that's meant more economic history and posterity than it is to help you navigate markets. So how do we know if we're in a recession right now? Well, from an economic standpoint, the manufacturing and services PMIs, which we talk about here regularly, have to fall below 50. And we are close to that level right now. Additionally, unemployment, this is why we keep looking at that, will rise to above 6%. Jobless claims should rise above 300,000. We'll also see it in our lives. Construction around town will finally start to slow down. People we know will lose jobs or have bad years. Prices for recreational items will begin to decline and they'll become buyer's markets. Remember those? Practically, that's when we're in a recession. Are recessions bad for stocks? Well, they're not good. We examined the returns for the S&P 500 for the 8 official recessions since 1969, and the average return was negative 7.58%. Three of those actually saw positive returns, while others saw moderate declines, with the worst periods being the past 50 years, the 1970 stagflation and the late 2000 financial crisis, where we saw stocks decline 22.6% and in the 2000s down 37.9%. Often the market pain has been felt and mostly runs its course before the recession occurs. That's because markets are forward-looking and they price in the future slowing growth and higher rates. So by the time it actually occurs, markets are looking forward to the eventual recovery. What's the takeaway you need to know? First, while stocks are down some, is the recession always priced in? No. Remember, we just talked about it. It's forward-looking. Second, history says that the duration of the recession is what matters and not whether a recession actually occurred. So if you look at the recessions of 2001, 2007 through 2009, those were driven by bubbles. Remember that? That combined with the Fed raising interest rates that really hurt the economy. And I don't think that's exactly what we're seeing in today's situation. We're in a more traditional high inflation, rising rates type of situation. And so the takeaway is the Fed needs to be aggressive to break inflation as soon as possible, regardless of the short-term economic fallout that we're seeing, and then get to a point where they have tamed inflation and can again cut rates to support growth. And I think we could see that late in 23 or early 24 at the level that we're going at right now. So I hope that was helpful. And so next week, we'll continue to look at the tea leaves. We have personal consumption, we have expenditures, and of course, Thursday's jobless claims number, which feeds into the narrative we just discussed.
Investment advisory services are offered through Liberty Wealth Management, a registered investment advisor. This podcast is for informational purposes only and should not be relied upon as a basis for investment decisions. The strategies mentioned are not suitable for everyone. The information expressed does not consider your specific situation or objectives and may not be appropriate for all investors. Past performance is not indicative of future results. To better understand the risk associated with investing and how it reacts to different market conditions, listeners should always consult with their qualified investment professionals, financial advisors, legal or tax specialists, and conduct their due diligence before making any financial decisions or taking any action. The legal information provided on the air is not intended to substitute for callers hiring their lawyers to advise them about personal legal matters. Investments involve risk and, unless otherwise stated, are not guaranteed. Liberty Group LLC paid for the following program, and the host's views and opinions do not represent those of the station or its ownership. California Life Agent number 048569. Persons engaging the services of one affiliate of Liberty Group LLC companies should be aware that each company is operated separately. You're listening to the Protect Your Assets Radio Network.